Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Savage Truthers. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Back by popular demand, I brought someone personal, someone that you thoroughly enjoyed. And you know what? You tell me what to do, and I obey. I brought my husband back. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're new to the channel, welcome. Make sure you bring someone back to the show. Tell others about it. If you're returning, just want to say thank you, as always, for tuning in. I appreciate your loyalty. Couldn't and wouldn't be able to do this without you. Whether you're new or old, my ass is always the same. To please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And because you ask, I'm going to deliver. And I brought my one and true loving husband, Brad, back with me to discuss, the subject of masculinity. Let me start out by saying this. Brad.
Yes.
Are you man enough
to vote for Harris Walls? Absolutely not. No.
And that's the subject for today, folks. We're going to talk about this. So it seems that the party that has spent 4, 6, 8 years degrading men, putting men down, emasculating them, has now all of a sudden decided that they actually need the male vote in order to get across the finish line. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about feminism, but the subject for tonight is masculinity. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't seen, right now, all the rage is what the Harris-Biden administration is putting out are all these man enough videos. They're putting out man enough. They're putting men out talking about how men need to figure out how they can embrace their masculinity. Offering money to black men.
That'll work.
As if that's going to work. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the fakeness of the campaign. We're going to talk about how they pander. We're going to talk about the desperation of the Harris-Walls administration as we near less than 25 days away from voting. So I'm going to say it again, Brad. I'm going to ask you, are you man enough?
Once again, to vote for Harris-Walls? Absolutely not.
So I think number one is what we want to talk about is this whole video that, thank God, has not gone viral, but everyone's talking about. And it's produced by someone who used to produce the Jimmy Kimmel. And it's called Man Enough. And so in this video, what you're seeing is a bunch of men who are showing up and they're saying things like, I'm man enough to, you know, drive a truck. I'm man enough to lift 500 pounds and braid my daughter's hair. And
eat carburetors for breakfast.
That
makes sense.
So we want to just talk about that. Really want to talk about really, truly the desperation of this campaign, more so because, again, because of the rise and the, you know, like the just the rise of feminism, especially with the Democratic Party. Now, all of a sudden, they recognize that they need the male vote, particularly the white male vote. So now they're starting to pander because they are desperate. And so I just want to talk about that. And so I want to get your perspective on it, Brad, and what you felt about when you heard that, when you saw
that. Well, when I saw it, it was ridiculous. You couldn't watch it and think that, okay, they have no clue. They have no clue what men are. And so, again, it just goes to the pandering. And the point is that actually the worst part of the commercial is that if you are a man, you actually don't have to say, I'm man enough. That's actually not really in the back. I've never said it in my life.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a caricature that they've created because they actually don't know what real men are. And so that's, I think, again, it's the disservice. It's a continuous pandering. It's always the same. They're never telling the truth. These were paid actors. They look nothing like, well, they looked exactly what they were supposed to portray.
Exactly.
So they looked exactly like a character.
Yeah.
of an idea of what men are. No different than Dylan Mulvaney as a character of what he believes women are.
That's a really great point.
So the disservice is actually to men and women, and the pandering and the consistent pandering of this administration.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and this goes beyond, I mean, masculinity is the topic for tonight, but this goes beyond masculinity, because when you talk about a Dylan Mulvaney, right, you have what I talked about when I talked about pandering and I really did. I asked you, when we were talking about this, we were driving the other night after we saw all these videos. We were talking about, where are the heroes? Where are, you know, the male role models, right? And you talk about Dylan Mulvaney and you talk about pandering. You know, the male role model for Democrats is someone who is a spokesperson for, is it Budweiser? And yet he actually is impersonating women, right?
Right.
And so that's supposed to be the model for women. He's also a male impersonating women. I think that when you look at the messaging, when you look at the efforts and the impact and what Democrats have done, especially for the last 8 years, and taking every single opportunity that they have to emasculate men, to attack the family, to attack the primary relationships, which is the core family of America, you know, and then they wonder why. When they go through the polling, which I think the internal polling must be horrible for them to be putting this video.
It's got to be worse than we can even
imagine.
It's
absolutely worse than we can imagine.
We can feel it, and we see it, and we pray for it.
Yeah.
But I think it's worse than what you know, what we think. They know something we don't, and I think that's good for us. But I wouldn't rest on that.
Right. So when you talk about this, when you bring up pro-life versus pro-choice, they would say things like, how can a white male have an opinion, and how dare they speak up and say anything, or how dare, don't tell, if you see a man cry, that's being a man. And they've spent so much time emasculating men that that's where the offense actually is for me.
Well, and they try to recreate this image. So now all of a sudden, Kamala Harris's husband, I don't even know his first name, but anyway, he's become the example of what the redefinition of masculinity. And I guess you've got to look at that, and then you look at the commercial that was done with the, are you man enough? And you have to think, like, I have nothing in common with these men. These aren't the men that I know, the ones that I don't want anything. I actually am not interested in you, what you have to say, because you don't see the same America that I see. This has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with gender.
Right.
I mean, I shouldn't say gender. I should actually say sexuality.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with those things. Being a man is they're pandering, and their consistent pandering is what is so frustrating to watch, and continually trying to re-educate us into what they think everything should be, what a woman should be, what a man should be. Next, it'll be dogs and cats and whatever else they can think of to throw in.
And I think you brought up a good point when you said at the end, the people who actually lose out is men. And then when you think about the feminist movement, and you think about a Dylan Mulvaney and this whole transgender movement, and allowing, men into women's sports, allowing men into sororities, allowing men into gym locker rooms, allowing men, into female spaces, the women actually lose out as well. So they've really kind of, gaslighted themselves into a corner that they actually can't get out of. And now they're in this conundrum where they've spent so much time degrading men, heterosexual, straight men, and now they're trying to figure out a way to give messaging. And because they're so disconnected to them, they don't know how to actually speak to actual real men.
Well, they don't know how to speak to the American public at all. They don't know how to speak and talk language. It's the one thing that you'll see consistently. Kamala Harris can't start anything, can't answer a question without going into this big word salad. She has specific words that she'll use basically at the beginning just to confuse and kind of, make you think that she's maybe has an intelligent, cell in that brain, but she doesn't. And it becomes very apparent very quickly. But they do this pandering act all the time. But when you get to, let's just say, J.D. Vance, he just answers a question.
Right.
It's just done.
Right.
Well, here's the question, here's the answer, and it's done.
Right.
But they do this thing where they just talk in circles, and they never answer to the people. They don't act like they're talking to real people. And they think that you aren't smart. They think that you, as the American public, because you know why they think that? Because they're in office. They're in office.
They're elitist. They are absolutely elitist. I think that something you said to me, and this was back in, I think, 2019, and that especially in 2020 and further, you said that it felt to you that the Democrat Party was angry, like they were punishing the American people for having voted Donald Trump in office.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Right. It's what I predicted would happen when Donald Trump, they were determined to punish the American people for voting for Donald Trump, specifically the Donald Trump voters. And they've carried through on that threat. They have tried to demasculate the society. They have demonized the Make America Great. Like somehow you can demonize that idea. And they've continually attacked any of the stereotypes, I guess, that you would consider to be manly, and made them less than and made us into be some sort of, you know, Neanderthals.
Right.
So it's frustrating to see that, but that's what it was. It really was to me. I could see this coming. It was going to be, they will punish the American people. And I think they have. Look at the gas prices. Look at the cost of living that's gone up. Look at everything that's gone on with the housing market, everything that's gone on with the interest rates. They have literally punished the American people, because unfortunately you can't just, you know, affect just the males in that what they consider to be the Trump, because it affects the entire population.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important. And so, you know, we've had this, it's perceived as a flip, right? But there isn't a flip. The Republican Party actually has always been the party for working class Americans. I think that there was just a challenge in the messaging. But now somehow Donald Trump came in and he was this complete wrecking ball to the political arena. It's absolutely what we've needed. And now we have, you know, a message. And I think that the American people have been pushed so far left that they're saying something. They're saying, you know what? We don't like what has gone on in the last 3.5 years. And now we're snapping back, right? We're putting our flags back up we're doing parades. We're celebrating, you know, we're proud to be Americans. We want to actually go back. We care about the core family. We want men to be head of households. We actually are going to define what men are, not by, like you said, sexuality or things like that, but bringing the core family back. We're just getting away from this complete wokeness, right? We're seeing the change and the revert back in DEI and CRT and all these other ridiculous notions that we've had to face and swallow and choke down for the last 3.5 years, and the complete failure and disdain and hate for the American people by way of the Walz-Harris campaign. It's just wonderful. Less than 25 days, folks. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Bring somebody with you to vote.
And can you say, are you man enough to say that you're tired of being bullied by the Harris Walz campaign? Can you say that?
Oh, my gosh.
What about the pandering of Obama? And I've been talking about Obama.
Oh, we got to talk about that clip.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that clip where he's sitting in front and he's wagging his finger at black men and wagging his finger at people and telling them that, you know, you're being abusive if you don't vote for Kamala.
I'm surprised you didn't tell them they weren't black enough.
I know. If they had to let it go further enough, I think they probably would have. But this is how desperate it has become for them, right?
Yeah.
That Obama shaking his finger at the crowd at men, telling them that if they don't vote for Kamala Harris, they're not men. And I want to talk about also this clip. We got to talk about this clip. Now, the man had a nice gun.
Oh, that one. Balls. I thought you were going to talk about the one when they threw that ball at Obama when he was president and he just kind of leaped back.
So like manly.
Like, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about that. You mean with the Walz and the shotgun.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about
that. So clearly, okay, like you said, we talked about this today too and yesterday. Walz is clearly a hunter.
Right. Yeah, I think when I saw the clip, I believe that Walz is a hunter? Of course, I believe he's a hunter.
Yeah.
But that was, again, it was a pandering moment because he was not familiar with that shotgun, clearly. He didn't know how to load it, and he was like, oh, this is the one I use, and I go trap shooting, and that it's not. There's no way. You wouldn't make those mistakes if you know how to load a semi-automatic shotgun. You just do, especially if it's yours.
Right.
So clearly they just ran out, bought it, and he was unfamiliar with it, and that's what you saw. So it isn't so much whether we're arguing about whether he's a hunter or he's a gun owner or any of those things. That's actually about, here we go again, it's pandering. It's that they're dumb. They think that you are actually so stupid that you will fall for these things and that you will just embrace, look, he is exactly what we said he is. No, he's not. In fact, there was a study that just came out today. Let's talk about that, too, where it was ranking the governors in every state in their fiscal responsibility. And Walz came in, guess what? Dead last.
He got an F.
He got an F.
Yeah.
He got one of the lowest scores. He got a 19 score. An F, came in dead last. So, who's sitting around saying, yeah, give me some of that? What people in what other states are sitting around, oh, give me some what Minnesota's got.
Yeah.
I really need some of that.
No one's envying Minnesota. Nobody envies Minnesota.
So again, it's just this continual lies that we are told, that we're this continual drawn out pandering of every single opportunity that they have. And in trying to paint these pictures of who they're not.
You know what? The lie. You know what? I can't get over that lie and it coming out during the debate. And he says, oh, well, I'm just a knucklehead, right? He says, I'm a knucklehead. Well, guess what, Tim Walz? Nobody wants a knucklehead for vice president.
Right? Or a liar.
Or a liar.
Because that's really what you meant to say.
Right.
You just
right.
said knucklehead came out, but what you meant to say was I'm a liar. I just, you know, but nobody wants that for a vice president. Nobody wants it for a president either. And she's no better. And they have to be desperate at this point when they're doing these things. And we've got to prove that Walz is a real man for everybody.
Right. And we have to pretend.
This is what it is.
And we have to pretend that Kamala is black so that she can get the black vote. And we have to pretend that she, you know, understands people of color. So whatever audience she's facing, she tries to fake that accent because there's a real true disconnection to these elitists and American people. And they actually just simply do not care about us. They don't care about the American people.
And it's everything in the campaign is so full of falsehoods. And you look at it and you just have to, I just get frustrated when I think that people are actually thinking of voting for this or falling for it. That's why I say, like, if they're men out there that are voting for that, I have nothing in common with you. Don't want to know you. Have no interest in talking to you. I'll be nice and say hi because I don't think we'll ever talk politics. We'll just walk past each other. Everything will be great.
Yeah.
But we sit there and we listen to them do this pandering. And then we also listen to them talk about Donald Trump. And they tell you what, oh, he's a racist. And he's, you know, they've lied and said he was a rapist. They've said all these things about him. And then they bring out their ace in the hole. They bring out Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
They bring Bill Clinton in to really, really hammer home this whole their case.
And we need to make sure that people know and see that Bill Clinton just buried Kamala Harris with his last speech.
I wonder if he knew what he was talking about.
So he says,
right.
I don't know if folks recognize. And so he's out and he's talking to people and he says that, you know, for the unfortunate passing and murder of Lincoln Riley. And he says,
was due to the lack of vetting
of the border at the border.
And I'm like, going, well,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message. Right. That's the new commercial right there for Donald Trump. I think if they just quote him and just put that there, it'd be perfect.
I think he was under the assumption that illegal alien actually came in during the Trump administration, but he didn't.
He
came in during the Biden. I even forgot who the president was for a minute. Joe Biden. You know, funny that they haven't brought Jill Biden out to talk to everybody about
Dr. Jill.
I'm surprised
Where's
they haven't.
Dr. Jill.
Yeah. You know why? Because they know what she would say if she got in front of a camera.
But the sinister thing is that Bill Clinton goes on to say that Americans aren't having children fast enough at a fast enough rate so that we actually need immigrants to take jobs.
He did say it.
And that's tragic that he has that thought and he's saying that to people. And you can actually hear people in the background agree with them. I mean, that's clearly That's clearly not an electorate that's going to be on our side. But he's basically saying, and I love that J.D. Vance had an interview where he said, you know what? It's not that Americans won't do those jobs. They simply won't do it for a slave wage. So if you want to have Americans working, go out and seek Americans to do that job, but pay them fairly. So this whole notion that we need immigrants to do certain jobs, it's ridiculous.
Well, what's behind the scenes of that? The birth rates are low. What? Let's just get to the point. The point is, if we don't have enough people, who's paying the taxes? We can't keep spending your money if we don't have enough taxes. We need to get the illegal aliens in here. Then we need to get them in citizenship as quickly as possible so that we can make sure that we get all of our tax money from them.
We also need illegal aliens in town so that they can vote in this year election.
And vote, and hopefully. But unfortunately, I think unless, the Hispanic vote, I don't see it being Harris Walz at all.
Yeah.
Because they've come from what we're going through right now. The reason they actually came here, and you know what, illegal aliens, some of them did come here just to get away from what was going on in their countries. There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
They didn't do it legally, and I'm not advocating for that, but the point is that they're here, and they came to get away from what we have.
Yeah.
And then they see this, And they're frustrated because they're not interested in a Harris Walz campaign at all. They like Donald Trump because he represents the reason that they wanted to come to America in the first place.
You know, I think we can start wrapping this up, but I think I asked a really serious question. I want you all to think about this too. Where are our heroes? Who are our heroes? You brought up something. Brought up some people.
When I was growing up, I think about that. Like, you know what? You know, John Wayne. Who was
That's a man.
That was a man that you could actually live by. There were standards there.
Andy Griffith.
The Andy Griffith Show. I challenge anybody to sit and watch some reruns of the Andy Griffith Show and not be a better person.
Yeah, you'll be a better dad. You'll be a better friend. You'll be a better,
American.
Better American.
You know, these are shows that actually had values. If that's too old, go to Little House in the Prairie.
Yeah.
You know what? These were examples of what a man actually is, what a man actually does, which is take care of his family and raise his family here, and what comes from that, all the goodness and greatness that comes from that, that's literally the fruits of what America is.
Yeah.
And that's what we're missing.
That's right.
We're missing those examples.
Well said.
Instead, we got, the Family Guy, we still got The Simpsons, they're funny, but, probably not the example you want to raise your family or your children with. We've just changed so much, and our values have changed, I don't think our values internally have changed, but they have been massaged into something that actually is almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, when you talk about Kamala Harris's husband as a role model, this is a guy who slept with the nanny.
Oh, well,
that's your role model? Feminist,
I think he hit his ex-wife.
He was accused of hitting his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'll be honest. When I look at him, I don't see that in him, but whatever. Clearly.
Not the role model we're looking for.
I don't think there's anything out there in that any of those people are role models. Pick your role models, but I don't know. I don't think anybody is, running out cheering for P. Diddy right now. I don't see a lot of fans out there for Bill Cosby.
Nope. J.D. Vance.
Yeah. So let's get back to some normalcy.
Yeah.
Let's look at a J.D. Vance. When I look at J.D. Vance and I hear his story, it reminds me of a sad Mayberry RFD Andy Griffith Show. And you know what?
America lost. We need to get it back.
We've got to find ourselves again.
So,
and they can do it. They can bring it back.
Less than 25 days, folks, right? If you're frustrated with the interest rates, if you're frustrated with the price of gas and groceries, if you're frustrated with, our border crisis and not knowing who's actually in our country and you don't feel safe, you know what? You only have one option for vote. If you're a man, if you're an American male right now and you want your American values and the heroes to be brought back again. If you know who you are, if you want to return to a society that has a moral compass, and you only have one way to vote. It's not about pandering. It's not about a facade. It's not about being fake. It's about real, true, genuine values, right? We have a strong foundational genesis here in this country. I am very grateful to be married to a real man, right? An American male, but so many of you are as well. You have less than 25 days, men and women, to get to the polls, and let's just save what's left of our country and let's get it to turn back. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah.
Are you man enough?
I agree, and I am man enough to vote for J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. That's what I am man enough to do. And the rest of you, God bless.
And that is The Savage Truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And as always, remember, say it with me.
All right.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be faithful.
Be true.
Till next time.
Thank you.
I'm Cicely.
And I'm Brad.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.